Are we live?
We went to Ted's last week, and they had a dinner afterwards. We didn't even know it was going to be one. And so we stayed and ate everything they had.
Are we live?
Well, we stayed. We all had a good time. Ted came over. And,
that's awesome. Good morning, and welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church. I hope the audio is okay this morning. I know last week we had some issues with some things, and I do apologize for that. We started a new lesson last week, Fundamentals of Dispensationalism, and it was so choppy, I can't do that. But anyway, we're starting something else that's different. I'll explain that in a few minutes. But we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way at Dispensational Bible Church, and that's the way we understand the Word of God. All the Bible's for us, but not all of it's to us. Good to see Tom and Barb this morning. They traveled down from the Massillon, Canton area, and we can encourage you also to come down and visit us when you can. If not, we'll see you on Facebook Live. And also, with that being said, the prayer requests and praise items that continues to be asked for or lifted up, we lift everything up. We hope that you are doing well. We got elections coming. I know it's driving everybody mad. It sure does me sometimes when I let it, but sometimes you just got to take a deep breath and say, you know, everybody's got an opinion. Everybody can have their own opinion. So I would encourage you to study things out politically. Definitely to encourage you to study things out scripturally, because, you know, when you're saved and you have the Word of God inside of you and the right doctrine, and you can make some choices in all things pertaining to who we are in this dispensation. I know Tom asked me about the flyer. Yes, the flyer went out. I received an email from Debbie Keeble, and they sent out 193 flyers for this area, talking about a King James Bible, a dispensational church that's in this time or this area, which is badly needed, because I know Tom Nem has a friend out in Anderson, Indiana, and they don't have a grace church, so to speak, that they can go to. The ones that do, praise God, hallelujah, right? But, you know, if you don't, you just got to do what you can. I mean, the Word of God is not going to be bound. It's not going to be muzzled. It's going to be proclaimed. So, with that being said, you got a red book? Let's sing a song this morning. You want to? Okay, thank you. Let's go to 132. 132, we're going to be singing He Lives. He Lives. If I can get it over there. Let's sing 1 and 3. I serve a living Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever man may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear the voice of cheer, and just the time I hear Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along the way. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus still abides. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Number 3. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your voice to sing. Eternal hallelujah to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the hope of all who find. And the Lord is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me Good morning, and thank you for that wonderful tune. I'm glad that the choir was meeting this week, and we're also rejoiced for that. We're starting, let's go to word prayer. Father, once again, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the things you've given us. We ask that the prayer requests and praise items, and the folks that are tuning in today, the Facebook and the ones that are here today, that we'd be able to glean from this study that we're starting through the Bible, and we hope that to be able to just be able to accept it and just rejoice in it and be able to teach someone else the Word of God rightly divided. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're starting a new series, and I know I mentioned fundamentals of dispensationalism. That's going to be a good year and a half, maybe 2 years, if you know me, to get through it. But I was talking with Brother Richard some time ago, and he asked me if I ever taught through the Bible in 7 hours. And he's got a wonderful booklet that you can get. And if you can't get it, maybe I can tell you how to get it later on. But it's through the Bible in 7 hours. Now, if you know us dispensationalists, we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way, and we just don't study in 7 hours. But we're going to take our time with this, and I'm using this as a textbook along with the King James Bible, of course, as the inherent Word of God for the English-speaking people. And we're going to be studying these things for this time, so it may take longer than 7 hours. You and I are not going to sit here for 7 hours. We know that, don't we? So, but I know I would, but you know, just when you get around the Word of God and you love to study and you love to talk about it, time goes by fast, doesn't it? But so I know many of you can't endure what you're sitting there that long, but if you have to get up and walk around, but once again, I'm not going to be here for 7 hours. So we'll just take our time and go through it. But the first hour here, or maybe 30 minutes or whatever, we'll find out a cutoff. We're studying the four keys to understanding the Bible. Now, you know as well as I know, you need keys to unlock a lot of things. I watched my wife, she has a pack of keys this big walking around the ranch, you know. It almost looks like a janitor's set of keys, you know. But, you know, what she did, she's consolidated some keys, and now she's got this little thing about this big. It has a bunch of keys in it. I'm like, that's interesting. Meanwhile, I still have a big trucker bunch of keys on my side there. But, you know, as you know, as I am a special commodities relocation engineer, and the fact that we even have keys in training. There's a Smith System keys out there, and the first rule is aim high in steering. And the second rule is get the big picture. Third is keep your eyes moving. Fourth is leave yourself an out. And fifth is make sure they see you. Those things work when you're out there on a highway. Those things work in a daily routine, if you think about it, aiming high and stuff. So you need keys to help in opening your understanding. Okay? So we were going to look at some understanding, keys to understanding, as we go through the Bible. Now, the first thing you need is tools. Okay, when you're looking at some things. And the first key is the student, is the Bible believer, is you and I, if you will. And be turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And what tools do you think is required for a Bible study?
A Bible.
Okay, you say a Bible. What else? The first key. What is it?
Paper or pen.
Paper or pen, okay. Most would answer Bible concordance. They would say Greek or English dictionary. And they would say commentaries with Bible authorities. Because, you know, I don't know if you guys ever thought about this, but when I first got this Scofield Bible that my wife bought me on her 10th anniversary, it's got a lot of commentaries in the bottom. It's got a lot of footnotes. And you, if you're not careful, you'll tend to look at those footnotes over what the Word of God says. And I was caught up in that. I'm like, let's see what this guy knows. See, I'm sure he knows a lot. He might even know more than what God knows, type of thing. And you know that's not to be true. But you know, you look at the clergy and you look at, you know, people that says they have a special calling of God. Now, a lot of people have asked me, when did I get my calling? And I said, I didn't get a calling. I got a text. You know, and the text says, if a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. So when you study the Word of God and you get the Word of God, and there's not, what I'm trying to say is, there's not one of us here today cannot be able to teach the Word of God with authority, okay? And so this is how we're going to get the authority. And others would say that no one can really understand the Bible. You ever heard that? You know, it's man interpretations. And when you have human viewpoint in this, then you know, that Bible's just man did that. Well, we're going to see some things that's different, okay? But however, God requires only one tool to understand His Word. Guess what it is? Only one tool. Y'all mentioned the Word, but you got to have one tool.
2 Timothy 2:15.
No, that's a verse that we saw. But what's going to help you understand the Word of God?
A teachable spirit.
Okay? So turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. We're going to read down to verse 14. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for him that loved him. But God had revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what maneth knoweth the things of man, save of the spirit of man, which is in him? That's a question mark there. Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, see the little s, little spirit, of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things we also we speak not in the words which man wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receive not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So we need to be confident, don't we? We need to be confident that we have this God's Spirit. And how does one receive God's Spirit? Now, you got to remember, there's all kinds of spirits out there. There's a spirit of man. The spirit of man, is it ever good? It's not as good enough to get you to heaven, okay? It can be good towards mankind. But most men's spirit is not good, especially when they want things. You know, they'll take you down to get what they want, you know, that type of thing. But Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, how can we be sure that I have Him, God the Holy Spirit, as a teachable spirit? And 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after ye have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the heirs of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, until the praise of His glory. First, you got to do what? Verses. You got to hear the word of truth, the gospel, your salvation. Then you must personally believe the truth. You with me? Then that is when you receive the Holy Spirit. And as a seal of God, the earnest of your heavenly inheritance. So this is a great salvation verse after you hear the word of truth, that you're sealed and saved, sealed, sanctified. You know, just a little while ago, Barb was sending me a contact, okay? And I was sharing with her, like, you know, I put their addresses in the phone book, in my phone. Well, when you push edit and you make those corrections, if you don't save that, guess what? It's not going to save in your phone. So Tom made a remark like, okay, like being sealed. You know, like, you know, if you don't save it, you're not sealing. So if God don't save you, guess what? You're not sealed. You might try to save yourself, but you're not going to happen. So what is the gospel of your salvation that must be heard and believed? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to try to just take my time with verses, because some of you know that I talk so fast sometimes, and I try to get through, and I still will spend an hour with most of you, and you're like, what did he say? You know, that type of thing. So let's just take our time and go through some verses and all. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4. The gospel, what does gospel mean? Good news of your salvation. What salvation is? Deliverance. Going to deliver you out of this bondage and stuff. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4. For I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also receive, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures, and that He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to Scriptures. Now, what did Christ do? He died for what? Our sins. And was what? Buried. And then what? Rose again. So this is the death, burial, and resurrection. This is what you believe. This ain't repent and be baptized and speak in tongues. Okay, that ain't the same. In Acts 2:38, we'll probably eat, you know, I was going to say eat this up, but we're going to look at some things later on through this study that you may come to some understanding. That's not the thing. They don't mix. Repent and be baptized and speak in tongues is not the death, burial, and resurrection. You with me? Now, I know people will argue with you till the cows come home. But that ain't going to make a hill of beans when it comes to the Word of God. Now, why did Christ die for our sins? Why would you say He could die for your sins? We got, what is it? We had a need. Okay, for Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is what? You know, people are like, I want my wages. I want my hourly wages. These wages is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is why He died. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commended His love towards us, and that while we were yet good enough, godly, children, no, sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 4:25. Romans 4:25. Who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Got that? What does it say is significance in Christ's resurrection in that verse? The justification. Okay? Justification. So, you need to be justified. Okay? Christ died for us because we were sinners. And at this point in time over here, and when he died and was buried and rose again, when you trust that, faith cometh by hearing, hearing the word of God. You did not see it. You only have faith in that because you know why? You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. We need to see these things. So what is the first requirement for understanding his word?
Acknowledge your sin.
Very good. Acknowledge that you're what? A sinner, and you cannot save yourself. Listen, I picture myself drowning sometimes, that I can maybe save myself for about 2 minutes. Then I'm gone. You know, I know people can stay afloat for hours, some days. You hear these. I picture myself sometime having to hang on a cliff by a twig. You know what I mean? Thinking, I'm gone. I'm a goner. I can't save myself, guys. But who can save me for eternal damnation? Jesus Christ. That's the key. There's a heaven and hell, and you need to understand that you're going to go to one or the other. And that's scary. You know, if you think about it. And you know, as many of us has been in here, we was brought up on hell and damnation, fire and brimstone. God's going to get you. Every Sunday they tell you that. But they wouldn't tell you the good news, what God did about justification, did they? But look, you realize that the full payment must be made for your sins, that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for your sins with his what? Blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, that substance paid for you and I sin debt. And you and I, our blood is tainted. It ain't worth a dime. Okay? If you got mad cow's disease, it ain't worth a dime with anybody. You know that? You know what mad cow's disease is? Yeah. So there's places all over the world and stuff that if you ate certain food, then your blood's tainted. Okay? I'm thankful that Jesus Christ gave me a blood transfusion. You know what I mean? I'm going to spend eternity with him. Then you rely exclusively on the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Savior. He died and buried and rose again to be for your and I hope of eternal life. With that, that's what that justification is all about. And you know something, I'm going to share this with you. I may be ahead of myself, I may not. But if you take the first five chapters of the book of Romans, when you're talking to somebody about salvation, and you're talking about somebody and seriously, and they're wanting to know, and you know people gives you lip service and eye service, you know, just really out of respect. But you teach them, when you teach them what you just heard, that Christ died for your sin, buried, and rose again, that you was a sinner, you'll never be able to pay your sin debt. And you tell them to study the first five chapters of the book of Romans, not the book of John. Like everybody tells you, right? People say, the first five chapters of the book of Romans will teach you about justification. And that's what it's all about, guys. We want to be justified in God. God's got a standard out there. He did not lower it. He did not lower the bar like some of these people are doing in politics and stuff. They're trying to lower the bar to keep people in their favor. God put a standard right there at that cross. He says, I died for you, was buried and rose again. Here it is. Trust that and trust that alone. And once you have done this, guess what God gives you to indwell in you? Not only a new man, what we're talking about here. Not only justification, what we're talking about here. What's one of the things, the tools that you need to understand the Bible? A teachable spirit. God gives you his spirit to indwell in you to help you understand the word. Now, I've watched people, and I've done this myself, and people say that they trust Christ died for sin, buried, and rose again. Okay? The same God that raised, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is dwelling in the hearts of you right now. That, to me, that's like, whoa. That just made my man's spirit nothing compared to God's Spirit. Okay? But that Spirit right there is indwelling in you, and then what do you have to do? How do you grow? Once you got God's Spirit in you, sit there and just, how do you feed it? With the Word, okay? You read it, you study, you meditate on it, you eat it, if you will. You indulge it.
It gets inside of you. If you don't teach, if you don't get the right word inside of you, how's that spirit grow? It doesn't. Okay? You know laboratory rats and stuff like that. They'll feed something one thing and it's this big, and they feed something another thing, it's this big. You know, you had to feed your spirit the same way as you feed your body. Not with chemicals and stuff, but you know what I'm talking about. We need to be confident that we have in our hands a book that the Spirit of God authored in our studies. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You've got to have the Word of God to get benefits from the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16. Some scriptures, all scriptures, is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished to all good works. Now, all scriptures, right? Mm-hmm. Now, inspiration in this. The words. What do you know about inspiration in the Word of God? Are the writers inspired? The words are inspired, but not the writers, okay? A lot of people say, oh, the writers wasn't. No, they wasn't. They got inspired after reading them, hopefully, right? I get inspired when I read what they wrote, but God, words are inspired. Go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, it is what? Written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, what is proceeding out of the mouth of God today? These TV evangelists? These panels they got out there, politicians, you know, how does God speak today, guys? The Word of God, amen. And you can have the Word of God in any language. We have the inherent Word of God in the King James Bible for the English-speaking people. It's authorized, okay? And Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, Matthew, Mark, chapter 12, verse 36. Mark chapter 12, verse 36. For David himself said by the, who? Holy Ghost. The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thy enemies thy what? Now, what is he said by who? The Holy Ghost. So the words are inspired by who? The Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 1. Go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 16. Change gears a little bit, guys. Men and brethren, these scriptures must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was God to them that took Jesus. You see that? Who spoke? The Holy Ghost. David spoke words. By who? Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. Verse 25. And when they agreed, not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word, which spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers. What's he speaking here? Yes, words. Okay? 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter, all the way over here. Peter, James, John. James, Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by who? So these words are inspired. And God, the Spirit, spoke these. The next thing we're going to look at is preservation right quick. 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells us, we read this a few minutes ago. We turn to Matthew chapter 22. Tells us, from a child, Timothy had known the holy what? Scriptures. Now, we're talking preservation just for a second. Or a minute. Matthew chapter 22. Ask yourself, did Timothy have the originals? No. But from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures. Timothy did not have the original writings of Moses. Okay? That was a long time. Before that, Matthew chapter 22, verse 31. Matthew chapter 22, verse 21. 31, sorry. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying? Jesus said what? Who said? Jesus is talking here. Jesus said what God said. You with me? So something's preserved here that Jesus is saying what God said. How did he do it? You know who Jesus was. He's God. But what did Jesus Christ always use when he was on this earth? The Word. He did not deter from the Word. So that should teach you and I something. When we're explaining something, we should have what? The Word. My wife can verify many times she'd be witnessing and stuff, and she would say, I'll look over her, I'm like, the Word. Open up the Word. You know, because you and I can, we know where we're at. Okay? But if when you're teaching somebody about who they need to be and keys to understanding the Word of God, you need to open up the Word of God. Now, you can have it on your iPad. You can have it on your phone. But where else should you have it? In your heart. Okay? So, she can talk, and I can talk scriptures, but you better be able to show them. Okay? Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 8. Now go write it before them in a tablet and note it in a what? Book, that it may be for the time to come forever and what?
Ever.
Whoa. They're writing it in a what? They're preserving it in a book, guys, forever and ever. Psalms 12. Psalms 12, verse 6 and 7. Many of you know this verse. Psalms 12. Psalms 12, verse 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of the earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation for how long?
Ever.
Forever. Go to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. Now, one good thing about having the Bible with you, you can write, put little rabbit's trails. You know, this, it's probably hard on a electronic, isn't it? You know, unless you had, you know, open up pages and copy and pasted, that type of thing. But anyway, Psalms 119, verse 89. 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The word of God is forever settled in heaven. That's outstanding. Psalm verse 111. Thy testimonies have I taken as an inheritance forever, that for thou art rejoicing in my heart. 160, verse 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of the righteous judgments endured forever. 1 Peter chapter 1 and Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 and 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withered, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. How long is it going to be ever?
Forever.
And Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. Peter just used what Isaiah just read. Matthew chapter 5. Get Matthew chapter 5 and Deuteronomy chapter 17. Matthew chapter 5 and Deuteronomy chapter 17. Matthew chapter 5. I know what some of you might be thinking, why just, you can't just use one verse? You've got to study scripture with scriptures. You know, you can always find a scripture verse to back you up. What did I say, Matthew chapter 5? Matthew chapter 5. A lot of times in my notes, I'll go ahead and paste the verses because I'm there that quick. This makes me slow down a little bit, doesn't it? Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Think not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I come not to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall no wise pass from the law to all be fulfilled. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 14.
What chapter?
17, Deuteronomy chapter 17. What do you know about the book of Deuteronomy? What's it usually called? The second giving of the... Yes. Okay. And verse 14 says, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shall thou set a king over thee, and thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But He shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that shall should multiply horses, for as much as the Lord hath said unto ye, to you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall they multiply the wise to himself, that his heart turn not away, neither shall be greatly multiplied to himself silver and gold. Verse 18. And it shall be, when he setteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in the book out of that which is before the priest of the Levites. So they are to make copies of God's word for distribution and preservation. You see that? Okay. The next thing we're going to look at, is identification. Okay. Maybe we get through these four keys. I don't know how long I've been going. But identification. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 17. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in who? Christ. Now, many which corrupt the word of God. Now, how are we to know that the Bible versions is the one God has inspired?
Honors them the most.
And don't leave words out. What's Mark chapter 1 say right quick? Now, I didn't bring, upstairs I have different Bible versions, but there's plenty of charts out there. We may even have one on our website that would help you understand some things. But Mark chapter 1 verse 2 says, as is written by the prophets, behold, I send my messengers before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Now, some of them say that prophet Isaiah. Okay, if you look at your, if you got any other Bible, other King James Bible, prophet Isaiah. Isaiah did not write this. Okay, Isaiah never said this. So who really wrote it? Okay, that's what you got to think is about. 2 Samuel chapter 21. I won't get you to turn there, but who killed Goliath?
David.
How do you know that? Because your Sunday school teacher told you? There's versions out there will say Elihanah killed Goliath. Yes. 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 19. If you want to write that down, you can look at it later. But how many brothers did Goliath? Let me ask you this. How many stones did David pick up from that brook?
Five.
Does that mean he's going to miss five times? And hope?
He had five.
Hannah killed one of the brothers of Goliath. See, so the translator put the brother of in there to show you, you know who killed Goliath. Matthew chapter, yes, David did. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and Mark chapter 3. Matthew chapter 5, Mark chapter 3. Matthew chapter 5, verse 22 says, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment, and whosoever say that to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of a council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. What's Mark 3:5 say? And when he looked around about on them with anger, being grieved from the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thy hand, and he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Now, what's the deal there? Did the Lord Jesus Christ violate his own command? What was his command in Matthew chapter 5?
Not to be angry without a cause.
Didn't he just say he was angry? But what was the cause in Mark chapter 3?
Not
Because of the hardness of their heart. With me? The Bible versions will leave out without a cause. They say, see, Jesus violated his own. No, he didn't. Matthew chapter 17. For the sake of time, I'll just run over some of these things. Matthew chapter 17, verse 21 is the verse really there. I should have brought one of those Bibles and I had one of you to open them up and turn to them and say, wait a minute, it's not there. Those other Bibles, it's not there. Mark 9, 44, 46, 48, are the verses really there? Do you want to know what they say? Okay, go to Matthew chapter 17 then. We got time, you know. Through the Bible in 14 weeks. Okay, we always say we got to tell between now and the rapture, don't we? Might as well enjoy ourselves and just really enjoy the Word of God. Matthew 17, verse 21 says, howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by the praying of what? And fasting. That verse is not in there in your other Bibles. I don't know if you got a Bible. You got other Bible versions on your app.
Yeah.
Turn to in. No, on that right there right now.
No.
Oh, you don't carry a different one? Okay. Okay. Mark 9. Let's move forward. Mark chapter 9. As I was looking over this week, I was like, okay, maybe I should have some to compare. I think I said that like three times already. I'm going to convince myself next week to have several Bibles in here, which I don't want anybody to use. But I'm sure you can. But 9:44. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Verse 46. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Verse 48. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Are those verses really there?
No.
And in God's word, but the other versions, no. What is significance about that, though?
That is a reality for if you die insane.
Yeah. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is never quenched. Eternal damnation is eternal damnation. If you die without trusting Christ died for your sins, bear and rose again, you're going to burn forever, guys. You're not dead like a dog on the side of the road, a dead animal or whatever, you know what I mean? You're going to die forever, and you're going to burn, and that's a firing process. Luke chapter 2, verse 33. And Joseph and his mother marveled at the things that were spoken unto him. Who is Jesus' father? The new version's changed. It says the child's father and his mother. They make Joseph out to be Jesus' father. Now, if Joseph, think about this for a minute. If Joseph was Mary, and they had a child, Jesus.
No virgin birth.
Yeah. The sin nature would still be there. And what good would the Lord Jesus Christ's death be? He died in vain. It wouldn't mean nothing. Acts chapter 8, verse 37. This is a very, very important verse in here, guys. Acts chapter 8, verse 37. Okay. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The new versions does not have that in there. So what good would believing be? You know, even Peter when they said, when Jesus Christ looked at Peter, who do you say I am? Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say this. Some say John the Baptist. Jesus looked at Peter and said, whom do you say I am? What did Peter say? Remember what he said? That's what saved Peter. He knew the Messiah. He knew who Jesus Christ was. Romans chapter 9. Verse 5. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Wait a minute. I was in 10. Sorry. It didn't line up. Okay. Verse 5. Chapter 9, verse 5. Who are the fathers of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless them forever? Is Jesus God?
Yeah.
Okay. That would be a question there. That would leave that out and all. So if you think about it, Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, here's a big one. In the dispensation of grace that a lot of versions will do. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery from which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, period. Is that what you have? Who created all things by who?
Jesus Christ.
The NIVs, the modern translations and stuff like that does not have created by Jesus Christ in there. Were all things created by Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
If you believe the Bible, it was. And then Revelation chapter 1, verse 11 says, is Jesus the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last? You know He is, isn't it? The evidence is clear when you have and hold a King James Bible in our hands, we have the very Word of God in possessions in our own language. But does it matter?
Absolutely.
I mean, really, does it matter? I mean, they sell books. They got thousands of copies. Everybody says they have the God's Word. Does it really matter that you have an authorized version of God's? It really does. You know, I tell people all the time, in the trucking industry, we have a federal manual. That's a Bible. Bible means book. That's all it means. And if we don't go by that guidelines, we're in a heap of trouble. You know? You have a business. And there's certain manuals that you probably got it up here by now. But there's certain patterns and certain things that you have to use to get certain things done. If you don't thread that machine right and you go backwards and you're like, this thing don't work, what happens? What do you usually go to? You'd be out of business. But the thing is, you go to a manual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things today when you order, you ever notice it? You don't get manuals much no more.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sitting there with all kinds of stuff going, you know what? I download a manual. I like pictures. My Bible don't have pictures, but I like pictures. Sherry runs campground over there. She has a procedure manual that their people have to go by with certain things. Now, I know what people will do. We can skip that one step right there. But what matters is Nehemiah chapter 9. Look at Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah. We'll try to get through this right quick. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 5. Then the Levites, the Jeshua, Jeshua, and Comel, and Bana, and Hashabanah, and Shirbath, and I cannot pronounce that word, I do apologize, said, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever, and bless by that glorious name, which is exalted above all blessings and praise. God's name is what? Above all names. You know something else, though? Yeah, here we go. Psalms 138. Turn there.
138.
Yes, 138. Psalms 138, verse 1. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship towards the holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. And for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy what? Now, there's no other name above God than God. But what does he magnify above his name? You should remember that. He's magnified his word above his holy name. And God has a place, his word, above his name. Man, this is serious. This is why when you think about the Word of God and you think about what you have from kiver to kiver, okay, is the fact that it's about authority over a throne of the entire universe. That's why Satan hates the Word. And you know what? Psalms 19:7-9, it's the perfect Word of God. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, is the words works. Turn there right quick. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to close with this one and pick up next time with the third key, since we already did two keys. Where did I say to go? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says, for this cause also we thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as words a word of men, but as it is in the truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that what? These words will work in you that believe it. These words will work in you that believe it. Okay? And we're going to close right there. Let's go to word prayer. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the thing you give us. As we think about, as we go through the Word of God, through the Bible, we are thankful that we do have the Word of God. It's been preserved. It's been inspired by the Holy Spirit. And we have it in our possessions today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you want to go to the website, it's www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org. If you want to give that way, you can give. You can donate there for the ministry. Keep us in thought and prayers. Also, we did update. Oh, here's some information I didn't tell you. We did update it's www.thekjv400.com. Okay, that's a website. I put together years ago, 2013, I think it was. We finally finished it, maybe before that, and it has every conference that we was associated that started in July 2010, and went all the way around to July 2011 of every King. It was the 400th anniversary of the King James Bible, if you remember, okay. And we have a website. On that website, you can hear every message from every conference from July to July. Okay, and we're excited about that. You can go listen to it. Those are some things that really needs to be preserved, just like the Word of God. You know, you can hear Brother Richard and many other people teach with authority. And our conference in May was a part of that, and we just was just really honed in on the 400th anniversary. So we didn't have a whole lot of preachers until you get to July conference, and we had 27 preachers there preaching, and yours truly was on there. But anyway, to make a long story short, that is going to help you understand the Word of God. And you can go to it and click it and listen to any messages you want to listen to. I'll encourage you that, because even today there's attack against the Word of God, and you know, it seems like there's few and few of us are standing for truth in the King James Bible, and we don't change words, we don't change meanings. It's the Word of God. Okay, so I want to encourage you to go there. Once again, we'd love to hear from you. Whether it's email or text or give us a phone call. And until next week, grace and peace.